within the state, but mostly within the city, yes.
So if that's the case, you're under the Portland Sick Time Ordinance, you accrue 1 hour per 30 hour worked. And if that's not been happening, you should contact the Bureau of Labor and Industry.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Thank you. The state at previous meetings for a 15-hour now project has requested that the city of Portland lead the way. But 3 years lead-in time is too long when we face monthly occurrences of possible homelessness. Mr. Mayor, City Council members, thank you for hearing us today. In less than 2 years, we have elections. There are qualified candidates poised to sit in those chairs and ready to work to make $15 an hour for all workers a reality. Our city workers know our value, know our capacity, and know our power. These conditions go beyond poverty. It demonstrates exploitation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wheaton, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mayor. My name is Rob Wheaton. I'm with AFSCME Council 75. I would like to thank you for putting this forward. I think it's a great, ordinance. We urge your support, and we think it's a great first step. I'm looking at a list of the people that it will impact, and I know it's going to make a huge difference for at least six of our members. So it's going to be big for them, and we really, really appreciate it. However, on the other hand, it is just a first step, and I appreciate that we're working on moving forward on these other employees that will be left out. This is the list of the people that will be left out, 1,800 employees. To give you an idea of who those employees are, I've heard several times from parks officials that, well, they're mostly lifeguards, they're young, you know. First of all, we don't really think that carries any merit. I think people that are young are just deserve $15 an hour as well as anyone else. But also it's been borne out by the facts. According to the Office of Equity and Human Rights, 70% of the casual workforce is over 20 years old. Shockingly, 60% of the casual workforce is composed of women, as opposed to the standard workforce. When you remove those casual employees, the workforce is actually 67% male when you look at all of the regular employees, subtracting out the casual and the casual employees. Finally, there's one other group that it leaves out, and these are members of Local 88. They're members of AFSCME. They're people that we represent, and that is the people over at Central City Concern and Transition Projects and other grant-funded organizations. We can simply require, as a condition of the grant, that these employers follow the Fair Wage Ordinance, and we would urge you to do this as soon as possible. These employees are doing hard work for the city of Portland. They're running the sobering station, so basically handling our drunks that come out of our bars. They're working in the detox facility at Hooper, so dealing with people recovering from heroin addiction and other addiction services. They're janitors. They're female treatment assistants, helping people with young children that have been born to drug-addicted parents, as well as in Transition Projects Incorporated. They're really just taking care of our homeless people. These people really deserve this money, and there are 20 out of 27 positions at Central City Concern that start less than $15 an hour. Some of these positions, after 25 years of employment, never reach $15 an hour. 25 years. So we would encourage you to not only apply this ordinance to contractors, but also to anybody receiving public dollars. Thank you very much, and thank you for doing this.
Mr. Wheaton, on that dashboard that you have from the Office of Equity and Human Rights, does it note how many of our so-called casual folks are of communities of color?
Yes, it does, actually. And 71. It's easier to do it this way. It's 71% white, and the remaining is broken up, as opposed to the regular workforce, which is 81% white. So there's definitely a disproportionate representation of people of color in the casual workforce as compared to the regular workforce. I think we need improvement on those numbers, though. I want to underscore that. Right.
Well, we're certainly working on that part too. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention.
So let me call on you, Rob, and others too, but you in particular, because there's going to be subsequent phases of this work. I mean, obviously, we're going to pass a version of this resolution, probably the one that we have in front of us right now. We're going to do what we can do in this first phase of the work. We've heard a lot of testimony today about how we should move faster and farther, and actually you have no one up here, I don't believe, who doesn't want to move faster and farther. But if I can take a phrase from you, in the present economic system that we're in, we can't deficit spend. We can only spend money that we actually have. And as you know, I'm now working on my third budget. One of my jobs as mayor is to propose the budget each time, and then we as a community and as a council discuss it. In my first budget, in 2013, we cut 155 full-time positions in the city budget because we had to balance our books. About 50 of those came from the police bureau, 26 of them came from the fire bureau. We fortunately got a federal grant, a short-term federal grant, to cover those 26 firefighter positions for 2 years. And then we did cut some positions in parks. Last year's budget, we added back one position in the police bureau, none in the fire bureau, and a few in parks. I don't remember the number, but it was a handful, right? Not a lot. In other words, we're still net less workers than we had in 2012, okay, on a balanced books basis. Now, Commissioner Fritz has quite rightly and very clearly raised this issue of part-time workers, and it's come up here as well. And again, none of us is interested in going slowly for slowly's sake, but I'm looking for ideas for how we move faster. They include new revenue. I heard that, and Commissioner Novick and I have been demonstrating how popular ideas for new revenue actually are. We're not going to stop talking about new revenue because we need it, but you know, it doesn't exactly fall out of the sky politically when one brings up the subject. So I want to call on you and ask me and other organizations, Jamie here as well, to help us think through, along with the task force that Commissioner Fritz is going to be assembling, how do we keep going here? Part of the answer to that is going to be the better economy is giving us a better budget. The forecast says we're not going to have another year like 2013 anytime soon, and I'm really happy about that. But it's not getting better so fast that we're going to simply be able to solve the problem with, you know, with cash flow. So we're looking for creative ideas from the activist community as well as from our own budget folks, like the folks we've heard from today, about how we do this. But the rules of how we do this is that 90% or better, and I think it's 93% of the general fund budget goes to police, fire, and parks. And most of the cost of those three bureaus' budgets is payroll. So it's a difficult box that we're in. Box is getting bigger. I like that. But it isn't infinite. So your thoughts about how we get creative, not just that we should, but how, I'm very interested in hearing. I'm really happy that I get to preside over bigger budgets for as far as the eye can see, but they're not that much bigger. So for what it's worth, we want to, and now and later, yes, please, now and later, we want to call on you for ideas.
Has the City Council ever reexamined the tax breaks that you give to businesses for coming here?
We don't basically give tax breaks for businesses coming here. We use urban renewal money from tax increment districts that has to be spent in that district on projects, usually public works projects, in that district. The conventional wisdom is we write checks to business. Not true. It almost never is the case. The only time that the city is ever involved in a direct subsidy to business is in what's called an enterprise zone, and I don't think we've done one in at least 3 years. So it's mostly money in and money out for personnel in our budget. So urban renewal is another whole subject, and I don't want to take up time here. But it's not like we have a choice between paying people more or building the Pearl District. That's not a choice. We can decide not to build a Pearl District, but it doesn't give us any more money to pay people. And in fact, what we're doing later this month is putting $800 million that used to go to urban renewal districts back into the tax bases of the city and the county and the schools so it pays for more workers. So, you know, we're happy about that. But, again, there's a conventional wisdom out there that what we're doing for business in the city budget costs workers. It's not. That may be the case at the federal level, but it's not the case here.
And increasing taxes on the wealthy in this City?
Well, that subject has come up in this chamber over the last year, and we brought that up as one of the options for how we could pay for taking care of our roads and streets, because we actually did consider an income tax proposal as one of the options. And we're going to get back to that subject this June when the legislature gets done talking about transportation.
Well, I would hope that the City Council would reach out to 15 now. There's a lot of really smart people that know what they're talking about, and when you move forward with these ideas.
No, we will, and that's the invitation I want to give you, is that we really want your ideas and roll up your sleeves and work with us on those. Please.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I would just add that it's not only just a question of revenue, and there have been some ideas about that, but also a question of priorities. And when you talk about police, fire, and parks, I think that you've been getting a lot of feedback from a number of Portlanders about the value of the police department, and you might consider cuts in the police department.
Well,
we did, and folks have put forward a lot of evidence that the police department is not as helpful as some of us might think.
We can talk more about those in our discussions.
Actually, Mayor, if I may for a moment, Jamie, I personally proposed some cuts in the police bureau, but I want to underscore what the mayor said, which is those are jobs too. I mean, you might be able to make some cuts based on attrition, but it's still a matter of jobs.
Priorities. That subject's come up too.
Priorities.
Thank you. Thank you.
Free the horses. Somebody did the other day. That's an understatement. Come on up. Who are the next, please?
Our Ted Pyle, Greg Wilkes, Romeo Sosa, and Bob Tackett.
Okay.
And they will be followed by Steve Shumate, Charles Johnson, and Bill Micton was the last person who signed up.
Okay.
Bill.
Bill, you're up.
Last but not least,
he's in the next group.
Oh, Charles as well.
Yeah.
My Charles.
I thought I was in the next group.
You were, but not everybody came up.
I've got Ted, Greg, Romeo, and Bob right now.
And Charles.
And then I have Steve Shumate here. Okay, and then we'll go with Charles.
Okay, Charles, come on.
I'm Bill.
Come on. You're on. You get the last word. Come on up. Charles, you're on first. Go ahead, Charles. You're on first.
Okay, great. obviously, the problem has been fairly competently addressed. My name is Charles Johnson, for the record. However, in our hope to get $15 now, for people who have jobs, we've overlooked a side issue that is part of that conversation about who's really earning what. Some of these people we're talking about giving $15 now to have zero health care, and some have valuable health care. And for some reason, Tina Kotek is not signed on to help us rectify the health care situation. So I hope that in the mayor's office, while we look at state issues of that relate to 15 now and income tax, Jackie Dingfelder and Gail Shibley will also be in touch with Ms. Kotek about Senate Bill 631 and how we're going to make sure that people who aren't getting 15 now still have the same basic human right health care that people who have managed to find jobs have. That would actually help the city. There's people you're paying hopefully more than $15 an hour to whose job is to figure out which city employees are going to be in uncovered groups to save the taxpayers a little money so that people can be sick. So when we talk about living wage, we're really talking about living, not dying, not staying home being sick. I'm glad that Commissioner Fritz, when we had the testimony that talked about people working in healthcare not getting proper accrual of their sick time, pointed out that the system is 15 now is a resistance movement to a predatory system of exploiting labor. That's all there is to it. It's been the testimony was out here from the beginning that if the minimum wage had kept track with equity from its origin, we wouldn't even be talking about 15 now. We'd be talking about 20 now. Some 22, 27. Where did I go, Novick? So let's remember that while we're passing this, as the mayor just noted, it's part of a real campaign for worker dignity, so that sick workers and their families and children don't have to try and figure out how they're going to deal with pediatric cancer on $15 an hour because they only got a raise. They didn't get a real living wage. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, I want to focus on the message that's been sent to the...
Just put your name in the record.
Oh, Ted Pyle.
Ted, thanks.
Being sent to the private sector that constantly plays the workers off against one another for lower and lower wages and no benefits, abuses all these part-time things and other considerations, calling work entry-level, and people are doing it into their 50s and 60s. But mostly it's just that we're raising a whole generation of people who don't have health care, who don't have retirements, who are working these part-time jobs, and in the end, it is the government, city, county, and federal, who will wind up having to support these people who don't have the benefits of the previous generation. So the best way to help the imbalance in wealth is to pay the bottom, because they'll spend the money and they'll use it immediately, and it goes right along with the fact that the feeding of the top hasn't helped the bottom. So $15 an hour minimum wage is a good start, and then eventually, but I believe all these things are going to have to be solved by legislation, because there's only, what, 10-12% union representation? So the only people can defend the working people against being abused further and having to be subsidized by the government in the future is the legal system, city, state, and federal.
Yeah, good point. Thank you. Mr. Sosa, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, City Commissioner, Mayor. My name is Romeo Sosa, and I work for VOS, Worker Rights Education Project, and also we operate the Martin Luther King Jr. Worker Center, which the city helped us to open in 2008. Since that, we have connected about 25,000 people with jobs. When we first opened the Worker Center, we collectively established $10 an hour. 3 years ago, we raised to $12 an hour, and we started the conversation to raise to $15 an hour. I hear that part-time workers or temporary work, seasonal workers, we don't want to be excluded in that. If the city cannot do it, we will do it. But I think together we can do the city of Portland fair and to create a $15 an hour altogether. And I'll be proud to see if you pass that resolution. And also I can't wait the other cities follows. Another state, we would like to see all works they want to be paid at least $15 an hour. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Mictum. Lived here a long time. I come here and chew my mouth off every so often. I wanted to start by recommending the Living Wage Calculator website. Very useful, good data. livingwage.mit.edu. I wanted to speak to a few things. First of all, the idea that there are starter jobs.
Excuse me.
A lot of people have talked about fast food jobs being all for teenagers, starter jobs, except only 30% of fast food jobs are held by people in their teens. Another 30% are people under 24, 20 to 24. Basically, in our economy, there are no starter jobs. People are living on starter jobs or trying to. Second, nobody should, anybody who works should be getting $15 an hour, unless perhaps it's a 13-year-old doing babysitting. And even then. Two, our minimum wage now in the state, and we have one of the highest in the country, is $9.25. The lowest living wage for a single person in this city, thank you, MIT, is $9.42 an hour. So the idea that you can live on a minimum wage is obviously nonsense. It's more than nonsense, it's cruel nonsense. Another thing, we're talking about ideas Actually, let me back up for a minute. One of the people who spoke earlier talked about getting $10 an hour now. I remember my first $10 an hour job. It was 1977. $10 an hour in 1977 is now $39. So that affordable job of $10 an hour, which it was, should be $39 an hour now at our current cost of living. Finally, in terms of ideas for more money, more revenue, the city has to lobby Salem, and one of the things it does when it lobbies Salem is say, you need to go lobby the federal government. 55% of our federal budget goes into killing people. This is not a good use of our resources. Okay? And there are lots of other ideas I am sure that the people who have been before you can help you with. Lobbying is a really big one. Put pressure on our congressional representatives, and let's get real money. And I just want to also follow up quickly by saying, let's stomp on private employers. They have to start paying a minimum wage, a living wage, I mean. A minimum living wage, which is barely $15 an hour. A single person with one child needs to make over $19 an hour to have a living wage. Once again, thank you, MIT. And thank you, all of you, for listening.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Anyone else wants to speak on this item that hasn't come up? Yes, please. Come on up.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I always wait till last because I think that I always have to run off at some point in time. But there was a lot of very good
points.
Oh, I'm sorry. Laquita Lanford. There were a lot of very good points that brought me here today. One, I returned back to Portland just about a year ago, and I lived here for 10 years, from 19 to 28. Left and always thought this was a really great city to live in, and my family lives here. My sister's raising my 2-year-old niece here. My mom, who was on drugs in California for many years, she lives here and she's doing well. And so, I really believe in a lot of the values that Portland has to offer for the people of Portland. And we're also talking about, $15 an hour now, how we want to be creative. And I think is at this time that we are in lobbying session is, band in the box, because we're also talking about people of color and bringing, I sat in this room today and I looked around as I do always, and I'm kind of the only one, and I'm going to speak about what I can, but it would be, my first step would be to ban the box, also offer knowledge workshops to the community with going forward business-wise. As we talk about community development and economic development in the construction sector, and also not having that look like, well, you're cleaning up as our safety environment auditors. There's just a bunch of different things that can lead into this, but also with apprenticeship programs and also giving kids the opportunity, teens that are going to jail at a year, going to detention halls, to have them be able to be responsible because they're having kids at a younger age, to look at responsibility at such a young age and to be looked at as the youth that they want to be looked at and given their getting that opportunity at a really young age. And so I really do support the $15 an hour movement, and also at a period of time where for me, it would be an apprenticeship program that you don't just come in at $15, but you work your way up into a year and a half to 2 years, depending on what the position is and how you can move forward. And also, as everything goes with the affordability of homes and just teaching those responsibilities for our community. So that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. Also, quickly, transitional project is how I'm being able to have rent today. Central City Concern is where I am employed at today. Home Forward is where I sit on a board at. And so, all of these community opportunities have given me opportunity to look at the fruitfulness of my life at 38 years old today. And so I'm really excited about being a part of any change in our community and to continue to be that role model for our young people in the community, and also share any ideas that I can. And I do have many more that I would like to share with you, Mayor, and Ms. Amanda, if possible.
Please do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon, City Council, Mayor. My name is Stephen Entwistle, former boxing champion, heavyweight division Golden Gloves here at Regional, and also a Healing Man Sanctuary representing, and 100 million friends. Anyway, been here for 55 years, not million years, but 55 years, and I've seen a lot of things come and go, and but what I've seen that stayed a lot is a lot of wealth. There's a lot of wealth that comes to Portland and stays. And not to disrespect any of it. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's all legit. But I don't see the amount of wealth versus being able to get at least a pertinent amount of revenue in order to just get basic things done. These are hard times right now, all right? This is no joke for people out there. There are 300 people jumping off of bridges every year in this town. That's crazy. It's nothing to be proud of. And I don't see that you guys are working hard enough to stop that. Everything is a lifeline for homeless, everything, including the parks. And when you take that away, then you're going to see a real large jump in suicide rate. And that's not going to be good. Okay. I don't think you're trying hard enough to find ways to get to the huge amounts of wealth that are in this city and to make it benefit those that really need it the most. I see a lot of protection of that, on the other hand. And it's only going to create injury in the long run. Thank you.
Thank you. Afternoon. Just push the button on the base of that microphone there. There you go.
Okay. Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Judith Pullman, and I also work for Parks. And I've been working there 5.5 years. I make 5 different rates depending on what I do in my center. And now I currently make over $15 an hour for my main coordinating work that I do to coordinate a program. But if I move to a different position or help out in a different sector, I make $12.50 an hour. So, and then if I'm sick, I also make my lower rate, $12.50 per hour, even if I'm scheduled to do my other coordinating job.
Talk to me about that.
Okay, I can talk to you about that.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
You're scheduled at the. You are. I think you're eligible for the pay at the.
Not correct. So I'll make if. Thank
okay.
you for bringing that to my attention.
Sure.
I'll make sure
I'll be. And it's happened to a few other workers in my center.
I will make sure that we fix that. Thank you.
Okay.
For letting me know.
Yes.
You don't default to a lower rate just because you're sick. If you're scheduled.
That's what we said.
What's your community center?
I work at the Multnomah Arts Center as well.
Okay. Okay,
yes.
That's something to look into. Thank you.
Yes. So I'm here in support of a lot of my fellow workers. There are 3 represented, actually 4 represented workers at my center, and there are 3 other people who coordinate large-scale programs who are not represented, some people who do smaller coordinating duties, but we all work really hard, and we all feel bought into the system but not taken care of by the system that we love. And I know our community really supports us and, you know, would love to see us being cared for by the work that we do. So thank you. This is very valuable. Your work makes a big difference
Thank you. Your
attention.
Thank you. Same to you, and we appreciate you bringing these issues to us as well.
Yes.
Is there a reason that you're not represented?
I've heard from my supervisor that that's due to budgetary concerns, that there's not room to add on.
No, the reason that you're not represented in a union, you mean?
Oh, we're trying.
Okay.
we're trying, but mainly because I believe there are only so many represented positions that are available to have at each center. That's the logic, even though there are more programs than represented positions.
Right, that's the full-time and part-time issue that we will definitely look into.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really good success when the Rangers mm-hmm. organized and joined Local 483.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a comparative study done so that the seasonal Rangers no longer make all that much less than the full-time Rangers. And so that's why I have a budget request in this year for $80,000. Only $80,000 would move six seasonal positions into full-time positions because we've already closed that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So from my mind as a long-time and continued union member, I believe that organizing and being part of a union is a really good thing.
Fabulous.
So I hope that you can continue the work with Local 483, who've been doing great work within parks, and we appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Partnership. Thank you for coming to tell us today what
Thank
you
Thank you. And we also appreciate you guys making the statement that workers are safe to speak. A lot of people are very scared.
Oh, good. Hope we can change that. Yeah, I'm glad we got the chance to talk about that, because people
Thank
should
you.
Feel that they can do what you and others have done here today, anytime on any issue. So that's the rule here, and hopefully people will know that and be assured of that.
Thank you.
Not only safe, but delighting your commissioner that everybody was here. I mean, I want to assure my colleagues that I did not organize all of these parks workers to come. I really appreciate the fact that you've made... Frankly, Erica Askin and 483 got ahead of me. So
your email, the public records request for your emails will settle that question.
Thank you very much
Thank
for being
you,
here.
Thank you. So actually, let's have a little moment for discussion here. But I think given that we've adopted the amendments, I'm not sure if there's any reason to wait on adopting the underlying resolution.
Well, except that we wanted to wordsmith the full-time bit. And I think we do need to find out the monetary cost of the amendments that we've adopted, plus...
I don't think any of those... I mean, we're setting policy direction. I don't think any of those things stand in the way before now and when we adopt the budget.
This is a resolution.
Yeah, it's a resolution. I would say we vote on it.
And I think if there's a...
Well,
further modifications, I would entertain a subsequent resolution, but I think... it would be a nice way to close this hearing to actually cast a vote.
Well, as long as the sponsors want to come back and have another hearing on another... The advantage of not doing that, it's obvious that we are going to pass this or something very similar to this. The advantage of continuing the hearing or closing the public testimony and then moving the vote out is that we give our staff who were here 4 hours ago and are not here now the opportunity to wordsmith without then having another public hearing on the amendments.
Well, let me offer another suggestion. That is, I think this is a fairly discreet issue. We have other follow-on work to do, and I think I agree with Commissioner Salzman. I'd prefer to go ahead and vote on this today, and then if there's a need to make any amendments to our financial policy that includes this prior to doing the budget, I can come back to the council with another resolution that says, we need to make these word changes in our fair wage policy and those word changes in some other council policy. But this is a resolution that directs policy. It's not appropriating money. It's going to obviously have a big influence on what I put in the budget. But because of the budget timeline, I think I'd like to get this done today, again, with an understanding that if there's a word or two we need to change later on, we can do that. And also gives you the authority to proceed with the task force as soon as you're ready. So again, I believe in measuring twice and cutting once, but I don't think there's that much at issue here in terms of changing words later on. We've got the full-time, you know, in other words, let me say this a little differently. We may make this ordinance more liberal over time, but I can't imagine that we need to tighten it down anymore.
In general, when Anna Kamwit tells me that there's an issue, a labor and other issue with wording, I tend to respect her.
Let me see if Josh has an opinion about that.
It's a non-binding resolution, so I suppose this.
Right, it's a resolution crafting financial policy. So, Josh, do you see any reason why we can't adopt it as amended today? What do you think? Is there, obviously there's no rush. We could do it later. But
Gosh, you're an at-will employee if you're wrong on this. you're offering an opinion in a public setting, so tread lightly on this.
I actually don't believe there's a reason not to do it, with the caveat that there are a couple of tweaks I think that will need to get made, whether it's done on consent later, I think can be done. I talked briefly with Anna after when she left, and she's already hard at work trying to figure out some of those questions that came up earlier. I really do think it's a council decision. I don't think.
Mayor, you also have the prerogative, if it comes back for a technical fix, you do have the prerogative as a chair to remind people that the only testimony we're taking is on the technical fix, on the whole issue. So,
yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of testimony on the substance of the issue. People know what we're doing, which is that we're addressing our full-time workers and our contractors, and we're setting up a process to deal with our part-time and seasonal workers. The substance of that isn't going to change, and you're right. If we have to wordsmith a couple of things in a resolution on consent later on to make our staff happy, I'm always happy to do that.
Okay.
Oh, everyone content with that? Good. Then let's take a roll call on the resolution, please.
Fritz?
Well, thank you to everybody who was here earlier, and thank you especially to those of you who remain here at this hour, especially since we said we weren't going to vote on it. Jobs with Justice, of which I've been a longtime supporter, and 15 now for pushing this livable wage. And I agree that even $15 an hour is not enough to live and raise a family on. Thanks to Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Hales for highlighting this issue. And to my colleagues for understanding that we collectively have a problem. And if there's one hesitation, yes, we need to have to do what we can when we can. One of my guiding principles since when I was on the Planning Commission, I learned from Ernie Bonner, who was one of the great pioneers of Portland, one of the great leaders of Portland, and who was previously on the Cleveland Planning Commission. He taught me a principle that we should always make decisions to give more choices to people who have fewer choices. And so that has been always the principle. And in this case, it really is the seasonal workers, the seasonal so-called part-time workers who have the fewest choices, who have the worst working conditions. So many of the people who will benefit from this who, you know, are custodians here at City Hall, many of them are my dear friends. I certainly appreciate the work that they do. The security staff have been tremendous. I have been a longtime supporter of SEIU and the other unions in the community. Those folks all deserve $15 an hour. The people who most need it are not getting it under this ordinance, under this resolution. And so as an employer who has just heard not only are my employees on food stamps, they are also on Medicaid, I hope that those of you who have previously been Parks Commissioner and those who will be in the future, just a crowd, because hopefully we all get a turn. It's a great year to be a part of. Partly because of the wonderful workers that we heard, some of whom we heard from today, people who are totally dedicated to serving the public, who love their jobs, who make their points in such constructive manner. I'm just honored to lead the Bureau, and I'm also, it's not okay with me that we do not support our workers in the manner that they deserve. So I know that Mayor Hales is very committed to that as a former Parks Commissioner himself, to redressing that wrong. And so since this is a step in the right direction, I will vote aye.
Fish?
Please, 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 please.
In a former life, Mayor, I had the honor of representing healthcare workers. And healthcare workers in New York organized because they were working in hospitals in low-wage jobs, and they weren't eligible for health insurance. And so they couldn't afford to get health care in the place of where they work. And it took a great labor movement and coalition to change that and to change the whole industry of lower wage workers in a hospital setting. I was thinking about our history in this area. Richard Nixon, that noted radical, once proposed a negative income tax, where he wanted to create a floor, an income floor for Americans. And of course, that went nowhere. Hubert Humphrey once proposed a Full Employment Act, and we know that that didn't go very far. And we've had eloquent testimony today about the diminishing power of the federal minimum wage and what it doesn't provide. So today we're taking a modest first step, but an important step, an important symbolic step. And I was very proud at the State of the City that the mayor declared this was a city priority. So let me begin by saying to the mayor and to Commissioner Salzman, thank you for making this day possible and moving us forward. Bill, if you applaud one more time, you'll have to be removed. No, I'm kidding. I want to thank my friend Amanda Fritz for relentlessly focusing on the needs of seasonal contingent workers at the Parks Bureau. When a number of years ago, Mayor Adams asked me to create a new housing bureau, one of the things that I learned as we went through all the complexity of creating a housing bureau is that city workers who worked on housing were not represented. And people may forget that, but there was a time when the employees of the former Bureau of Housing and Community Development were not represented. And so there were a lot of thorny legal and labor issues that had to be resolved when we brought PDC workers over and we created a new unit. But the one thing I was very proud of is this city put no obstacle, no roadblock in the way of employees exercising their right of free choice. And today, the employees of the Housing Bureau are represented because they chose to be represented. And the city, consistent with its policy, did not interfere with that right. And Commissioner Fritz wants us to work as a council to address an inequity at the Parks Bureau and raise the living, the working conditions of people who are tireless public servants who give great service but are not treated like full-time regular employees. And she has my full support, and I know she has the support of this council, and we've heard time and time again the principal barrier is a question of cost. Well, I've sat on this council when we had no way to pay for Portland-Milwaukee light rail, and we funded it. I've been on this council when we've taken on big, bold initiatives, and there was no clear way to fund it, and we found a way. The reason we will someday solve this challenge is because Commissioner Fritz will not let this issue go until it's resolved. So, Amanda, thank you. And by the way, there are four current and former Parks Commissioners on this dais, so I think you have a leg up. And the mayor has also committed not to change bureau assignments for the foreseeable future, so you will.
Just hers.
I think it's likely
just
that you.
One.
I think it's likely that you. Well, I've started two task force 15 minutes ago, so I'm going to claim the same privilege. One last thing. We're not here today because all of a sudden any of us woke up and said, let's take on the $15 crusade. We're here because a whole community coalition insisted that this happen. Let's be clear. And it started when Dan and I were running for re-election last year, year and a half ago, and it was framed for that election cycle. It continued with the lobbying of this mayor and this council, and Charlie spoke to that eloquently in an interview he did recently about the number of groups and coalitions that came and said, now is the time. So we're here because the community has spoken. And this is a first step. This is not solving the global problem. But it's an important symbolic step, and this council is committing to doing more work. So I thank everybody. And finally, when we talk about a livable city, we often get caught up in the physical manifestations of a livable city. And it's what people talk about. It's our beautiful parks. It's nature. It's the beautiful downtown and everything. It's place. And I like place as much as anyone else. But when I think of a livable city, I think of affordable homes, quality schools, universal health care, and living wages. Now, that's a livable community. And that's what we should recommit to today and going forward. So thank you to the sponsors and to all my colleagues. And today I'm proud to cast an aye vote.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Matt Grum of my office for helping us take up the challenge for from Jobs for Justice and $15 an hour PDX now to have this hearing. And I'm pleased to say, as a result of this hearing, we're about to pass into law an increase for our contract employees starting July 1st. And maybe down the road, our seasonal parks employees, too. May take a little while to get there, a little longer, but I think there's a will. And when there's a will, there's a way. So I'm really happy that we are doing this today. And this is really a way of really supporting Portland families and wage earners who work hard. I mean, our security, our janitorial, our parking attendants are in some of the lowest paid positions, and they're supporting families
as we heard today very eloquently from many of our contract employees, and they deserve to have an effective wage increase of $15 an hour effective July 1st. It may not be, 15 may not be the right number, but I'll tell you, when you consider right now our federal wage is less than $10 an hour, it seems, you know, 15 sounds pretty good from where most wage earners in this country are looking at for minimum wage. So it's a good start, and it's a good day, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Novick.
Just a few comments. One is that we're today essentially committing to spend a significant portion of the limited additional ongoing funds that we'll have over the next 5 years to raise wages of people who aren't making enough money. And I'm very proud of that. I am also very disappointed that we don't have the resources at this point to raise the wages of every city employee, part-time and full-time, to $15 an hour. And I'm very much in agreement with those who said that the fact that you're part-time doesn't mean you don't need to make $15 an hour. In fact, if you're trying to live on part-time work, you need the raise at least as much as somebody who's working full-time. Responding to Bill's comment about cutting, you know, getting the federal government to cut the defense budget, unfortunately, with the current configuration of Congress, that's probably not realistic. However, I do sometimes wish that we were the federal government, because then we could just cut the V-22 Osprey or some other weapon system and use that to fund things like raising wages. Instead, we're a city where I'm reduced to doing things like proposing cutting the Mounted Patrol in order to raise a little bit more money. And although I'm not the biggest fan of the Mounted Patrol, they're a lot more appealing than the V-22 Osprey. Commissioner Fish said that he was here when we didn't have the money to fund Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail, and yet we did it. Problem is that we did it at the expense of money for transportation, maintenance, and safety projects. That's not the reason we're in a budget hole in transportation. It's a small fraction of the reason. But the truth is, we didn't really find the money. And finding additional money is difficult. And I mean, people, we've heard some talk about taxing the rich, which I'm pretty much always for. But it's not the easiest thing to do, even in Portland. One idea that we might ask the legislature to consider, I think, is we have the property tax system, which provides a lot of our funding, is regressive, both because of inequities from neighborhood to neighborhood that are caused by Measure 4750, but also because the cost of housing is not proportional, generally, to income. People who make 50 times as much as the median income don't normally live in houses that cost 50 times as much as people with median income. Maybe we could get the legislature to consider sending something out to the voters to authorize some sort of luxury tax on houses that cost more than $500,000, say. Another thing that I think that we should think about as a city is, in Germany, wages are high and healthcare costs are much lower than they are here. We spend more on healthcare than any other industrialized nation. Maybe there's an opportunity for the city and its unions, who have very active labor management benefits committee, to sit down and plot a future where we manage to figure out a way to spend less on healthcare and more on wages. So I think I'm very proud of this council, which is committed to raising wages of its employees. It's difficult to see where we get the money now. We all need to work together to figure out creative ways, as people have said, of ensuring that we do get the additional money, because it pains me to think that we've got city employees that are working part-time, but that's their whole job, and they're making less than $15 an hour. So I'm very proud to be on this council today. I'm proud to take this action, but it is not nearly enough. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I just appreciate this hearing very much. The advocates here in the room and elsewhere in the community that have raised this issue, the people here in city government, including Josh Alpert, who as usual is sitting quietly in the background, but who has put a great deal of work into this and many other good ideas around here, and my council colleagues. You know, it's always interesting when you hear descriptions of Portland politics, sometimes in this room or sometimes in the community. I actually, in the course of a day, often hear us criticized as a liberal city and as a conservative city in the same day. And maybe that's a point of view of the observers, but actually I think it's because those labels don't really fit all that well. And the words I use all the time in trying to describe Portland is that we practice localism and communitarianism. Localism because we actually believe we're responsible for the people of this place and this place. And it's why we've put so much attention over the years into the quality of place in Portland. We didn't wait for somebody else to do that. In some cases, we actually had to battle other governments. No, we'll not build a freeway through Southeast Portland. No, we'd prefer to build light rail instead. In some cases, we've had help from other governments. Like, we'd actually like an urban growth boundary, and we mean it, and we'll keep it, and we'll respect it. And then we're communitarian because we actually think about each other. One of the stories that I've told from when I was running for office is I kept running into people in old neighborhoods who said, you know, my sidewalk and street need a little work, but before you get to me, go take care of the people that don't have a street yet. You know, I love that about Portland, that people actually think about their neighbors, all of them here. And so I think what we're doing here today is an expression of those traits, or rather that we as a city have a habit of trying to put our values into what we actually do, into how we spend money, into how we run our bureaus, into how we provide services, how we take care of our workers. And I think that those are really healthy things about us as a city. So while I hope that eventually there's forward motion on lots of things in Congress, I don't think we're going to wait for it here in Portland. We're going to keep trying to do things locally. We hope and expect that the good and progressive legislature that we have in Salem will help us on some of these issues, not just wages, but also sick leave and transportation and a lot of other things that need mental health, that need state help for what we want to try to do here locally. But again, I think we think about our community, we think locally, and then we actually try to put our values into action. And we're doing that here today, and I'm very proud of that. There is a lot more work to do. Commissioner Fritz has run straight at the problem of the part-time and seasonal workers in Parks Bureau. That problem's been around a long time, probably as long as any of us who've served as Parks Commissioners. I think it's probably gotten bigger over time, because the number and diversity of services that the Park Bureau provides has gotten greater, and we have more community centers and places in which those services are offered. So we've got a big issue there to take on, and I appreciate you, Amanda, for raising it up. And as Commissioner Fish said, I don't think you'll let us stop talking about it, even if we wanted to. So this is a very good start to a body of work that's going to continue. It's going to continue on the Parks Bureau. It's going to continue for how we get this finished in our own workforce, and then try to express those same values into how the private sector operates in this city. And I've encouraged private sector folks to follow our lead. I hope some of them start to do that. As somebody who worked in the private sector for 10 years, I happened to stumble into working for a company that had this belief that if we took care of our workers, we would prosper. And it turned out to be true. And it's not just true in the private sector. It's true here as well. And our workers in the city and our contractors that provide these services are our most valuable asset. So this is a way to recognize that, to start putting those values into practice with dollar signs behind them. I'm very proud of the work. I know we have a lot more work to do, and I look forward to doing it with all of you. Thank you very much. And we're adjourned at recess till tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you. Good job.